this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
It's a good evening, everyone. Nice full house tonight. A lot of you that I don't know, that I haven't had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Sean Saville, the assistant pastor here at Church of Pretoria, a family that I've called home now for a few years, since 2009, if I'm not mistaken, a place where I nestled myself in comfortably. This is a good house to be in. Our house has blue curtains, it has blue carpets, but I don't want to use the hideous word, but it's good. This is a good house. This is a good house to be in. To those of you that are here with us for the first time, welcome. You're a special guest tonight. I trust that this blue curtains will grow on you as much as it grew on me. And you will want to come back to stay in it ever so now and again. And then look, guys, welcome to Relationship Week 2015. One of our flagship events, if I can call it that. And Yeah, I am excited, I promise you, excited to be opening up Relationship Week. And before I get going, I'm just going to share a few random things with you. For those of you that know me, we know I'm good at doing that, so bear with me. Standing at the back there, I've got a lot going on in my heart right now. I had a lot going on in me while I was preparing for this message. And I'm standing here, I'm going to tell you that relationships is something that's very dear to me. Relationship Week, believe it or not, is something very dear to me. And I really don't speak about it much for those of you that sort of hang out with me now and again. I sort of push Relationship Week one side all the time. But I don't know, for some other reason I do that. But I just realized again this week that relationships is something dear to my heart, because it's dear to the heart of God. And I realize the more one learns about relationships and God's desire for relationships, the more it's going to grow on you. You see, the trick about preparation for an event like this, guys, I can tell you it's not easy. I'm going to explain to you why. Right? The biggest question that I'm usually faced with when preparing for an evening like tonight is, what on earth am I going to speak about? And who am I going to be speaking to? If you take a look around, this is one seriously diverse audience. I mean, right here tonight, the audience I'm speaking to, hear the heart with which I say this, it ranges from the stone-faced eunuch in the front row up to the cool cat Mr. I don't care about relationships sitting at the back. Then we have those that are exploring. Everyone's looking around, who am I speaking to? The stone-faced eunuch and the cool cat at the back. Yeah, you there somewhere. Come on, you're there somewhere. Yeah. Then we have those that's exploring the highs and lows of the dating world. And then we have others in the front row that is literally knocking on engagement's door. So church, you see what I'm talking about? It's a diverse audience, it's a diverse crowd. And this begs the question, where should we start? Where should we begin when we start talking about relationships? Luckily enough for me, I get to open the week's series. So I get to grasp this opportunity, and I get to start at the beginning, at the very, very, very beginning. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to commence Relationship Week by addressing the issue of singleness. Far less hallelujahs than what I was expecting. Guys, the concept of relationships, it's diverse. We need to start at the beginning. Any good relationship begins with singleness. We're going to look at that. And the crazy thing is, over the years, I've heard some of the craziest names being given to single people. And the one that sort of sprung to mind this week was bench warmers. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about, yeah? That folk that sort of stuck in the dugout while the rest of humanity's headlining at the local derby, yeah? Your response tells me, you know, exactly what I'm talking about. And when I was thinking about tonight's message, I realized that this could accurately describe how many of you actually feel. So here we are, commencing a series of talks on relationships. Here we are. And I trust the fact that you're sitting here knowing what you came here for, there's a few things running through your mind. I really do believe that. Now let me not dabble with your thoughts, but I'm sure a few of you is sitting here saying to yourself, look, I'm here because I want to be ready. You know, if I ever get called on to go out onto that field, I want to know what to do, and that's why I'm going to listen to these talks. Some of you have been thinking about it. You've been saying to yourself, you know, maybe I'm even going to study up on it. You know, the intellectuals around you are going to study up on it. You're maybe going to read a book about it. You're going to listen to this pastor. And if ever I get called onto that field, I am going to hit relationships out of the park. Now hear me tonight. It's all good if you're thinking in line with what I just said now. But the primary thing that I want you to know is this. That if you're single, and I'm sure the majority of you are, you're not on the bench. You're really not sitting on the bench. And everything that the Bible says about loving people is for you. This whole The whole point of tonight's talk, church, is to get this culturally inflicted mentality out of your minds. I'm going to scrub it out of your minds tonight because you need to know that if you are single, you're not half a person, you're not a person in waiting, you're not on the bench, and you're not missing out on a thing. To put it simply, you are not anyway, you are not by any means anything less than what you would be if you were in a great marriage. You see, it's important for us to talk about this because culture and the world attaches a stigma to singleness. Relationship week is hard for many. A lot of people don't want to come. They call this Single Awareness Week. Guess what you're getting? Pastor that's going to speak to you about being single. Church, it's very simple. 3 points I want to share with you tonight. The first thing that I want you to know is that being single is not a curse. We need to start there. A lot of you believe that I am cursed because I'm single. Being single is not a curse. You are not incomplete. You are not insignificant. And you are not somehow anything less than whole. Now for a moment, let's consider the Bible because I reckon there's a few fairly significant people in that book that was single. You would agree with me, huh? Some of you sitting there pulling faces, thinking about it. Who could he be speaking about? Well, the first person that comes to mind is maybe Jesus. I reckon we could call him important. I think he was significant. The man who brought about the salvation of the world. Yes, that guy. Guess what? He was single. He was single. Tempted in every possible way, but still maintained the ability to be our perfect high priest. You see, Jesus was everything that we call to be. He fulfilled all righteousness, and he did this as a single man. Now, come on, I need to climb into scriptures while I can't just dabble out of my own. You can follow up on the screen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to read together from verse 1 through to 12. Now, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." I shared 9 verses with you that's interesting. This is what I'm coming to. Verse 10, his disciples said to him, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, is it better not to marry?" But he said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who are born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it." Let's pray for this message before we get going. Lord, this evening, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you, Father, for your hand that's upon us. We want to honor you tonight, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we know wholeheartedly that your desire is to tabernacle with us. Your desire is to be in relationship with us. For that we thank you, Lord. You never turned your back on us. You never will. What a privilege it is to climb into your word, Lord, and to draw from it principles that you hold dear to your heart. May you be glorified in everything that we say tonight and in all our reactions. May it glorify you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of scripture one could flight around this, and I'm just going to encourage you to read some of it at home. Long chapters and passages takes a lot of time. And I know how amped all of you are to stand there and read off the board as well. Now let me tell you this. This is a passage of scripture that you know well. I'm sure most of you understand what's being addressed in it. And I'm by no means going to distort this to speak into the message that I'm bringing to you tonight. I want to encourage you to sit here with open hearts, open minds, and to look beyond the surface of Scripture. There's so much hidden away in the Word of God. I promise you, church, we cannot take everything just at face value. Scripture needs to be taken at face value. And sometimes to understand things that is dear to the heart and things that jerks the heart, sometimes we need to scratch just a little bit deeper. You see, even the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthian believers, addressed exactly the same subject. The only difference is the Apostle Paul took it one step further. I'm going to paraphrase his words, but hang in there. This is what he's saying. He says the following to the church. If you did not marry, your worries would not be so worldly. And as a result of that, or in turn, you would be able to keep your focus on God and His glory. Now this comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it's a lengthy discourse. So I want to encourage you, and I really want to encourage you, go home and read 1 Corinthians 7. I want to encourage you to spend quality time in that passage, quality time, so that you can obtain a true and accurate understanding of what the Apostle Paul is holding before the church. Because these are one of those passages of Scripture that any one individual can distort and read it according to what you want it to say to you. You all know we have that ability with Scripture. Twist Scripture that it says to me what I want to hear. This is one of those contentious chapters. So you trust the Lord to show you exactly what the Apostle Paul is holding before the church. I want to say to you that he was not addressing the topic of singleness to that church in the same way that one would try to sell a used car to someone. The Apostle Paul is not trying to pawn off singleness to the church. Don't get me wrong. Relationships and marriage is glorious. But being single is just as good. Holler at me. There we go. Got my girl in the front row. You see, I bring my props with me. Yeah. You understand where I'm coming from? Yeah? Marriage and relationships is beautiful. It's glorious. But being single is just as good. Now, church, I can promise you one thing. Right? If that's where you're at, service to the Lord and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ will be just as fulfilling as anything else you could ever experience. Don't twist my words tonight. Huh? You need to listen closely. If that is where you're at, then your love for the Lord and your service to the Lord could be just as fulfilling as anything else you could ever experience. You see, it's all about living your life for someone else. How can that be a curse? But it's within that statement that I believe sits the whole problem, sits the whole conundrum about relationships and living your life for someone else. Because the reality of where we are today is that we live in a world that draws close and holds tightly onto two very unique idols. We live in a culture that is drawn to two idols. They're really simple. The first one of the two is the idol of independence. Now, this one is predominantly modeled on one's desire for performance, success, an achievement. Bear with me. This is sort of what it looks like. Let me role play. Put my role play wig on. There we go. Okay. I'm not going to need anyone in my life. And no one is definitely going to drive me down. I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to get my CV in place. I'm going to get a good job. I'm going to earn money. I'm going to get some status. I'm going to be all high power. And when I'm safe and when no one can touch me and when no one can hurt me, when I'm protected, maybe then when I have some time and the right person comes along, maybe then I'll date or then I'll marry him. But I'm not really going to be joined to him. All right, I'm going to keep all my money separate and I'm going to keep my life separate. Does that sound familiar? Then there's another type of self-protective view that exists. Now, come on. This is basically the same mentality. It's just a lot lazier. All right? And it goes something down the lines like this. Well, well, you know, I'm not really looking, but if I have time and if someone comes along, you know, maybe I'll date them. But right now, I just want to watch Super Sport. Church, these are the two idols of independence. And they send out a strong message. You know what I'm talking about? The two idols of independence, and they send out a strong message. It says the following: I am not going to sacrifice anything. Don't ask me to do anything. I'm going to live my life for me. And basically, that's what you're saying. Some of us just tend to communicate it in a lot cuter way. Then we have the idol of dependence. Oh, yeah. This is also known as the sad Chad model. Don't Google it. You're not going to find it there. This goes something like this. I'm not complete. I'm not whole. I'm never going to be happy without a wife. I'm never going to be happy until I'm married. I'm not going to be what I envisaged myself to be. And I'm never going to be a complete person on my own. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to wait for this glorious event called marriage to come around, and I'm going to manipulate my entire life for this one thing: to be whole. And I tell you, church, you know you've made something an idol when it has the right to judge you, when it has the right to validate you, and when it has the right to demand sacrifice from you. You see, with this idol, that is what it truly is. It becomes idol. And these are the things we tend to do. Come on, let's be honest. Huh? I was single for who? The last time I spoke at Relationship Week, my topic was 30 and single. No. Some of you are sitting here and the sweat's running off your face because you're 23 and you haven't met anyone. Yeah, I was 30 and single. You hear that noise? It's my precious. What a glorious sight for someone that entered into his 30s, single. Not in a relationship, not engaged, single. What a glorious sight. But these are the things we tend to do. Church, all jokes aside, we validate our existence on whether we have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And the sad reality of that is we tend to look at these things as our saviors. But let me tell you one thing. As with any other idol in this world, it's a futile idol. Which means that it's incapable of doing for you what you hope it will do. It's a futile idol. And church, I want to tell you that you will not have one less problem in your life if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. A man recently married is signaling to me that it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows. Lucky enough, he's sitting at the back, so you can't really see what I'm talking about. Guys, it will not automatically or necessarily solve any problem. You know, I really can't promise you much. Guys, I always say this, I don't have much to give you, and I've got the gospel, that's all I can give you. And then I've got little snippets of advice that I've built up over years. Now come on, I'm not that young anymore, but I'm not that old either. So I lived a bit of life, all right? I lived a long life of singlehood, I lived a long life of dating, and I wasn't always this size, all right? So, I looked a little bit different back in 2009, and I mean, guys, I had my fair share of dating. I've been around the block a few times. Look, it's nothing to be proud of. I'm just being honest with you. I've been around the block a few times. So I've learned a few lessons. Some lessons have just come with age, and that's the beauty of growing old, all right? You get wisdom with age. So some of the snippets that I can give you is I can tell you that having a boyfriend or a girlfriend is not going to correct any problem in your life. And I want to say to you, beware of idols. Beware of idols. And I'm just going to put this bluntly, and you're unfortunately going to have to take this in whatever way you want to. But modern day idolatry, the biggest contender for God's attention is the attention of a boyfriend and a girlfriend. It's one of the biggest known idols in the modern day church. Beware of idols, but yet be aware of the fact that in Christ, you're a complete individual and you need nothing more to complete you. In Christ, you are complete. You need nothing more to make you whole. Now, church, I'm going here tonight for a reason. Because I want you to have a balanced view of relationships and marriage. You want to know why Relationship Week is so dear to my heart? Because I want you, as young ladies and young men, to have a balanced view of relationships and marriage. You see, because when we pursue it in a godly manner, it is a beautiful thing. It is an absolute perfect gift from God. Now look, there's no doubt that in any one godly marriage, and to a certain extent, maybe in relationships, there's a form of glory. And now I want to say something to you, that in the ideal world, I truly believe that every single one of you would be married. You would share in that glory. You would all have great kids and they'd all love Jesus. But if any of you woke up this morning saying to yourself, "Ooh, I'm in the ideal world." Sorry to pump the air out of your tires. Now you're not. We don't live in that ideal world. And now we need to understand something about this ideal world. Because in this ideal world that God created, He created us with the capacity to be joined to one another, mind, body, and spirit. As the scripture says, to be one flesh. And church, that is glorious. Every single wedding that I do, and just come to realize every other pastor and chauffeur sorts of does it, it's written in our script, is we say that marriage is the closest that we will ever come to viewing or understanding the mystery in the unity between Christ and His church. And that's true. There's a heck of a lot of truth in that. You see, when we are joined and we become one flesh, it is glorious. But it's precisely for that reason that it's glorious in the ideal world that it's dangerous in a fallen world. Let me put it to you this way. What's more glorious, a field mouse or a lion? Now let's leave Sissel, whatever his name is. Shame, man. He's just taking knocks all week already. But what's more glorious, a field mouse or a lion? Just look at this, a lion, right? 400 pounds of ripped muscle, flowing mane. It's smart. It's strong. It's powerful. It's glorious, man. Take a look at that thing when it runs. I had my daughter and my wife at the Predator Park when we were up in East London, and we went on a Sunday around about 12 o'clock in PE, sorry, not East London. Some of you might have been there. It's feeding time for the lions. And the lions are locked up in cages right at the back, and they drop this poor whatever it is that they're dropping down there, and they lock up the gates and they're out. And they release the gates that's housing those lions. And I tell you, it's a majestic sight. I can see why we compare the King of Kings to a lion. When you see that 400-pound beast at full speed with that mane blowing in the wind, man, that thing is glorious. But if you were to be locked up in a room with a wild field mouse or a wild lion, which one would you choose? Sounds funny, eh? But you're going to go away here tonight and you're going to give that some thought. A lion is glorious. But if you could choose between an enclosed area with a wild field mouse or a wild lion, what one are you going to choose? You see, church, this is the reality and the nature of the fallen world that we live in. A glorious but wild beast in the fallen world is a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. But don't fret. You see, this whole example that I'm giving you, it's exactly true for singleness and for relationships. I mean, come on. The field mouse is like singleness, all right? By no means is it glorious. Now, no one writes great love songs about singleness, all right? It doesn't crank your jet. It doesn't make you all fluffy on the inside, all right? Singleness, it's just not glorious, but it's also not dangerous. It's not glorious, but it's also not dangerous. Church, when you join yourself, mind, body, and spirit, to someone outside the perfect will and desire of the Lord, I tell you, you are putting yourself in a dangerous position. Now, I'm not going to spell this out for you. I'm just going to put it simply. There's two irreparable things in life. It's not your major or the subjects you studied or what you studied. It's got nothing to do with it. There's two irreparable things in life. They are getting married and having children. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not hitting marriage. Please, I would be a fool to do that. I'm wearing a ring. How can I not promote something that is godly, something that is biblical, something that is close to the heart of God? You need to understand the angle that I'm coming from tonight. When you want to do this in the natural and in the spiritual, outside of the perfect will of God, you are putting yourself in a dangerous position. Marriage and relationships, church, it's beautiful. It's glorious. Children, on top of that, I can't tell you that is going to be of the best things that would ever happen to you. You know what softens a 117-kilogram man? A little 11-month baby. Softens a 117-kilogram flowing mane predator. My wife and my child, my soft point. Very few things can knock me down. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm hard and I'm difficult. A lot of you know it. Very few things can get to me. You want to get to me, you're going to get to me through my wife, and you're going to get to me through my child. It's the most precious things that could ever happen to me. It's the most precious thing and the most beautiful thing that's ever going to happen to every single one of you. But the trick is in its time. In its time. We can't toy with this. And I want to say to you, church, with absolute love and respect to the ministry of marriage, the love and the union of two individuals, right, in the presence of Christ, being bound as a triple braided cord together with Jesus, the one that ratifies that covenant, with all respect to that, I want to say to you, don't ever make an idol out of relationships or out of marriage. Being single is not a curse. Being single can be a blessing. Secondly, being single is not an excuse to pout. It's an opportunity to serve. Now, to understand what I'm saying to you now, I want to encourage you once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Draws correlation to what I'm saying now. Being single is not an excuse to pout. It's an opportunity to serve. Now, I also need to say to you, just so that we're all on the same page, the pouting that I'm speaking of now is not the duck lips that took the selfie by storm. It's not that, yeah? The pouting that I'm referring to now is what one calls in Afrikaans, and bear with me if you don't understand this language, you will never forget this word. It's called bollevanga. Pouting, in the true sense of the definition of that word, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I've got the randomest question for you, and some of you might be able to answer this. Do any of you know what the Apostle Paul, St. Augustine, Martin Luther, Amy Carmichael, and Mother Teresa has in common? They're all single. The moment I said Mother Teresa, I gave it all away. (Laughter) There's more to it. There's more to it, church. They all changed the world for the gospel, but they did it while they were single. That's the full answer. Church, what I'm saying to you is your singleness in its season is a gift from God. And I want to tell you that it is also the one opportunity that you are going to have in your life to love and to serve many without being worried about the safety of your wife and your children. Hear me, I'm not hitting marriage. Please, don't misunderstand me tonight. But when you get married, my dear church, things change. Now, I'm not saying that a married person can't serve the Lord. I'm not saying that a married person's not prepared to serve the Lord. I would be a fool to say that, because then I'm including myself in that pool. But what I am saying to you is that here you have an opportunity in your singleness to do far more than what you could ever achieve when you have this thing attached to your finger, with all due respect. When I was single, I could come and go at my leisure for the gospel. And I did it. Every opportunity I had to lift my hiney from my seat and go somewhere and do something for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I did it. And while I was on that mission field, I had no care in the world. My full and undivided attention was to building the kingdom of God. Now guys, here's the reality. I'm married today. I'm still going out there. I'm still pursuing the kingdom of God. I'm still giving it my all. While I'm doing it, I actually need to think about my wife and my kid back home. That's reality. The reality of my life. God called me to steward a family. I'm going to have to steward my family. You see, where I'm going is with the undivided attention that you can offer to things. Again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. All that I'm saying is there's opportunity in your singleness, and the time is now. Use it. Use it to its fullest. Use it to do things that is unimaginable. Because a time is going to come in your life when you're still going to be able to do those unimaginable things. But you're going to have one or two or three, and depending on where you're at, four, five, or six other things to think about as well. There's opportunities in your singleness, church. Embrace it, yeah? God surrounded you with people to love. God surrounded you with people to love. And yet the reality of that is there's so many of us sitting here moaning, saying, I don't have anyone to love. I'm all alone. I don't have anyone. Yes, you do. I'll bet my bottom dollar there's 10 people in this hall tonight that is dying to have you walk into their lives. Don't get paralyzed by your pouting, church. Find somebody to serve. You know, I get asked this one question all the time. It's a really interesting question. And so many people come to me and they say, look, Sean, I'm not in a relationship right now, but what should I be doing in preparation for that relationship when it comes? Yeah? Here's a good answer for you. Find someone to love and find someone to serve. That's two things that's going to keep you rightly occupied in the meantime. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I also think it like sort of pops up in the Bible every so now and again. Yeah? Something about this, this love your neighbor thing. You know what I'm talking about? Because here we are moaning that we don't have anyone to love, and God's saying, love your neighbor. But I don't have anyone to love. Love your neighbor. But I don't. But love your neighbor. And I tell you, church, they're all around you. It's, I mean, you kicking half of them out of the way to get to the bathroom in the morning. Love them. It's a good place to start. Love them. Being single is not an excuse for self-preoccupation. It's an opportunity to love many. Being single is not an excuse to be obsessed with what you don't have, and it's not an opportunity to be mad about what you're not. Being single is an opportunity for you to get busy loving many through an act of service. Now this is hard because sometimes the people we want to hang with and the people we want to love and the people we want to serve, sometimes they don't really want to hang with us. You catch that? Sometimes you might feel maybe like a little bit of the unpopular kid. I'm trying to fit in here, but it's not working. You know what? If you want to fit into this group and you want to hang with them and they don't want to hang with you, go find someone else to hang with. I want to tell you, draw hard from that 1970s folk rocker single. How does it go? If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Don't get all excited. There's some serious sexual connotation attached to that song that we are not going to get into tonight. Philip's handling that next Sunday from this very pulpit. But you catch the drift. You catch where I'm going with this. All right? Love the ones that you're with. Yeah? The Lord surrounded you with people to love. So being single, it's not an excuse to be sterile. Being single is not an excuse to be sterile. Now, let me explain this to you. I'm giving you a lot, and I see a lot of you taking notes. May the heavens help me and make sure that your interpretation of all of this is correct. Otherwise, I am in serious trouble. I trust your interpretation of what I'm saying is correct. Okay, being single is not an excuse to be sterile. Hear me. God has commanded us in His Word to go forth, to be fruitful, to multiply. Whoa. To fill the earth and subdue it. All right? Two sides to this. The one is, it sounds fairly shady, me speaking about that at a singles event. The other one is some people that would say, yes, Sean, but even if you hold it before us, how do we be fruitful and multiply if we don't have someone in our lives? Oh, yes, you do. You've got the gospel. Go and multiply that. There's thousands of people in this world that is dying to be birthed into the kingdom of God. And I can tell you, they are waiting for you, and your time is now. Being single, I said to you, we scratch beyond the surface of Scripture, ne? We'll give you a different take on things, and it's very biblical. Being single is not a curse. Being single is not an excuse. And lastly, being single is not a test. Right? Being single is not a test. Somehow, we've adopted this mentality that if we pass the test of singleness, God's going to give us a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Now, we've even developed certain spiritual and romantic ways of communicating that. Shows you how crafty we've become over the years. Now, the spiritual way of addressing this is as follows. Hear my words. When I become content with my singleness, God will reward me by giving me a wife. Now, is that not exactly what God does? Yeah, he goes around every single day sitting there waiting for us to pass them so he can hand out them rewards. Church, that's not how it works. Now, I can tell you, I don't know why the Lord gave me my wife. I really don't. But I can guarantee you one thing. It's not because I achieved some spiritual milestone. Definitely not. That doesn't make any sense. And it's not in line with anything that the Bible teaches. You see, there's no human merit system in the gospel. That idea is in direct contradiction to the word of truth. The gospel is all about grace. There's no human merit system in it. And I want to tell you something. This self-manufactured contentment, it just makes us more self-obsessed than what we've ever been before. And that's real. And let me give you a tip with this. And this is, all of a sudden Philip's going to look up right now. It's like playing golf. There's a few avid golfers, and I was like playing golf, you know, and I tried this once in my life. I sucked, and I just left it. All right. If someone is killing you in a game of golf, this is the only thing I was ever good at in golf. All right. If someone's killing you in a game of golf, you start asking him about his swing. The moment he's standing there, you ask him the question, how do you do that? Why are you doing that? What are you trying to achieve with that? You see, the beauty of that is you're trying to get him to think about what he's doing. And the moment he thinks about what he's doing, he usually flops. That's the only thing I've ever discovered through the game of golf. The more I question, the worse this gets. And I've come to realize, and this is not everyone. Some of you might be good golfers, but with the clowns I'm staying out with on the golf course, I mean, the only reason that oak's hitting the ball straight is because he's not thinking about it. And it, in the same light, it's exactly the same with contentment. You will never become content by striving for contentment. It just doesn't work. The other way we often look at it is sort of in the romantic manner. Can the band come up in the meantime, please? The other way we often address it is in the romantic manner. Now, come on, I'm sure some of you have heard this one. You have to stop searching for love and let love find you. You talk. Okay, come on, let's get more practical. Let's get more practical, all right? If you want to be really attractive, and this is normally the ladies, I'm sorry, but if you want to be more attractive, you must not be looking. Because there's nothing more attractive than a content woman. Eh? Oh, my word, no. No, no. Church, no. That is not how it works. This is not a test. I mean, all jokes aside, I'm saying this in a light-hearted way tonight. But all jokes aside, this is not a test. I really don't know what God has in store for you. I really don't. But I can tell you one thing. That getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend is not something that you achieve. Some of the most godly people I know are single. And that's okay. Church, remember Jesus? That single guy? How content must he have been before God gave him a wife? How much more tests did he need to pass before God gave him a wife? Guys, it just doesn't work like that. Now, I'm speaking to a young crowd tonight. And I'm addressing you in a fairly entertaining manner. You know, as a pastor, one needs to learn to, at times, tweak a message to grab the attention of people. And speaking to a young crowd tonight and relaying this message in a fairly light-hearted way, there's no doubt that I've got your attention. But when we put all of that one side, you must never forget that this is a serious message. And this is one that I trust you're going to hold dear to your heart for a long time. Because for at least 65% of you, where you are right now, the season you're in, this message is speaking straight into that part of your life. I hope you guys are comfortable with what I hold before you tonight. The reason why I say that is because speaking about singleness is not easy. It's really not. It's not easy to do it at Relationship Week. It's not easy to do it anywhere. It's one of the hardest things to address from the singleness. So I hope that you guys hold on to the simplicity of the things that I'm holding before you tonight. I wanted it to be practical. I wanted to speak into the three areas that I know plagues us. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be concerned about. That is why I believe the Lord has brought this message to us. It's an opportunity for us to make peace with who we are and with where we're at. And it's a time for much introspection. It's a time for us to start looking deep at ourselves and start asking ourselves the question, what are we really chasing after? Now, at the end of this message, I want to say to you, church, I am pro-dating. All right? I'm saying it to you. I'm all for it. I'm not here tonight to convince any single one of you to stay single. All I'm trying to convince you of is while you're in this season of your life, you embrace it for what it is, you remain level-headed, you remain sober, and you keep your focus on what's truly important. This is the hardest time of your life, searching for something that sometimes doesn't make sense and sometimes it just isn't coming. And this is the time when we can make some of the most costly mistakes we will ever make. And I'm a living testimony of that. I wish someone had one day looked me straight in the face and told me what the true value of my single state really is. Tonight, I want to encourage you that for the short time while you're single, know what you're after and utilize this time wisely. It runs up, church. This time runs up. It really does. 30 years of my life needed to roll, but it rolled by. And eventually, the time came when I moved on to a new season in my life. Embrace it as it comes. Understand the season. Understand what it desires from you. And understand what you should be pulling out of it. So, singles, if there was one thing in this world that I could ask of you, it would be this. That you would be so deeply sane, first of all, and so absolutely impressed with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would know that He is good and that He loves you irrespective of your relational status. I'd really love for every one of you that is single to wholeheartedly trust your Father in heaven. He's a good God. He knows you. He knows your desires. He knows your wishes. And He knows how to give you good gifts. Can you trust Him? This is what it boils down to. Can you trust Him? He's a God that knows your every wish. And at the same time, He's a God that gives you good gifts. Which means that wherever you are in your life now, relationally, I'd like to believe as a result of the will of God. Can you trust Him with that? Can you take your singleness right now? Can you take that singleness and can you stand before God and say, God, tonight I acknowledge that this is a gift that You gave me. And you know what, church? If you can't, you need to be honest with it. If you really can't do that, then you need to take that to the Lord as well. And then you need to say to Him, God, I don't believe it. Convince me of it. We serve the greatest pursuer of hearts. The greatest pursuer of hearts. If you don't believe that your current state is a gift that God has given to you at this time, you need to take it to Him and say, Lord, I don't believe this. Convince me of it. And simply, guys, I beg you, pray that prayer tonight. Because I really do know that there's some of you sitting here tonight that doesn't believe it. And that's going to hold you down. It's going to slow your road. Tonight, you need to make right with the Lord for the simple reason, so that you can live your life.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like